our somewhat irregular study in Ephesians, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, when we read these letters from Paul, it's important to remember that although he became a Christian, he was raised and educated as a Jew. He was a Pharisee, and not only a Pharisee of the Pharisees, because there were degrees. He thought in Jewish terms. And so he knew that the nation of Israel was chosen by God, and this was their heritage. Gentiles at the time were generally idol worshipers, and they had no interest in what was perceived by them to be a Jewish God. And so in these verses, Paul speaks to us as Gentiles through this letter to the members of the Ephesian church. And so this portion is speaking to us in a very unique way. And he's reminding Gentile Christians about their former lives and their current privileges in Christ. And so in this section, there's a few main points that you should remember and look for as I stumble around. First is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a historical and a spiritual event. That's never far from Paul's mind, and if it's not in the foreground in his letters, it's in the background, but it's always there. This has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and this is the means by which they have moved from where they were far away to where they are now. It's the heart of the gospel. So that's the most important point. Second is the fact that the Gentiles have trusted in Christ. This gave them a relationship with God and brought them in from far away. Jews were born as children of Abraham and into the nation of Israel, but Gentiles were born again into a relationship with Jesus Christ and thus a relationship with God. Third point is the issue of Israel as a nation and their relationship to God through the covenant of circumcision and the law. And this set them apart from the Gentile world, made a difference. So there's a contrast between the old covenant, which was given to Abraham, and the new covenant, which is in Christ. And so Paul is taking pains here to show the readers that circumcision is a physical difference done by men, but Christ has made a way for the Gentiles. Because then, as now, there was and there is a difference between Jews and Gentiles, although there are also Messianic Jews, but time forbids me from talking much about them. So this difference was a wall between the two groups before the sacrifice of Christ. But that sacrifice broke down that wall. The wall is gone. God had revealed himself to the Jewish nation as to no other. And he said to them, you are not one of the greatest nations for me to choose you. You are one of the smallest, but I chose you anyway. So the Jews then were called the circumcision, and they called the Gentiles the uncircumcision. And this uncircumcision that marked the Gentiles in Jewish eyes was a sign of estrangement from God. You're not one of us. But the covenant with God came to Abraham with circumcision, and Gentiles, of course, not being descendants of Abraham, had no part in that particular covenant. So after his conversion, we see Paul, who as an observant Jew with observant parents was circumcised the eighth day, he began to take a different view. And he understood that a relationship with God was not for the Jewish nation alone. That's where we come in. It was available to everyone. So while circumcision was an outward physical sign of the difference between Jews and Gentiles, it was not the last word. It was not the last page in the story. And so he reminds the Gentiles they were previously called uncircumcision by those circumcised in the flesh by human hands. And at that time they were separated from God and what he had revealed to Israel, and they were far away. Being separated from Christ, they had no hope because no promise of God applied to them. Now they have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He's taken sinners and made peace with God for them. And this peace available to both Jews and Gentiles, men and women. And Paul is teaching that those who receive spiritual circumcision need not receive the physical circumcision. The old physical circumcision was available to Jewish men only. And in the old life, before receiving Christ, the Gentiles were separate from Christ. And they were also not part of Israel. They were just out there, far away. And there was a barrier between the two groups. Now, the Jews had the Old Testament, and they were in anticipation. They were looking for the Messiah to come to Israel. The Gentiles were uncircumcised. They didn't follow the law of Moses, and they were not looking for a Messiah. But what can we say? He found them when they were not looking. So, a little exercise. Look back at the time of your salvation and try to remember if you were diligently looking for a Messiah. But didn't quite find him, or were searching spiritually. Some people were. Or did Jesus find you when you were not really looking? I have to tell you, he found me when I was not really looking. I went to church. Why did I go to church? Mom and Dad took me. all of a sudden, one day, one time, he found me when I wasn't looking. I'd heard the gospel how many times sitting in a pew somewhere, but, you know, it's like the seed that was picked up by the fowls on the wayside. It didn't ever sprout anything. And so the Jews then, on the other hand, were looking for the Messiah, but somehow they couldn't see him, even when he was right in front of them. He was there, they couldn't make him out. Now the Gentiles were formerly separated from God, and because they were separated from God, they didn't have any hope. But with the coming of Christ, a great door was opened. I remember the example he gave, I am the door to the sheep. All those who came before me were thieves and robbers. But when I speak, the porter will open the door and my sheep will follow me. They'll hear my voice. He is the door, and the gospel that Paul was proclaiming then could give believing Gentiles access to God without first becoming Jews. Our God then is the God of hope. And to know God is to have hope. And to be without God is to be without hope, both in this world and the next. So we see, like in verse 12, before you were strangers to the covenants of promise, you had no hope. You had no hope. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He ourself is our peace. So having shown where they were prior to salvation, Paul sets out to show where they are now. Being in Christ Jesus has changed everything. The Gentiles were previously far off from God, being no part of the covenant between God and the Jewish nation. Typically, they worshiped various idols to no avail. And that's why there was all kinds of meat in the Corinthian meat market, because they gave it to the idols, but the idols never ate any. Now they've been brought near to God, and the means, of course, is the blood of Christ. This means available to Jew and Gentile alike, both could have a relationship with God. This message is truly the most revolutionary message of all times. Why do I say that? A personal relationship with God needs no human intermediary. We have a heavenly intermediary, a high priest who is like us and who has suffered and knows the things that we go through. No human person, no human organization has control of the great door, which is Christ. The rich can't buy salvation, no matter how rich they are. And the poor can enter without paying a fee. And because it's a personal salvation, an individual salvation, we can sing that song, whosoever will may come. No earthly deeds need be done, as salvation has already been paid for us. It's been purchased. And it's offered freely by grace. So this new covenant puts both Jew and Gentile on equal footing and brings both of them near to God through the blood of Christ. So above all things, we as a sinful people, which we acknowledge we are, need peace with a righteous God. We must find peace with God through Christ. He himself is our peace. It says, but now in Jesus Christ, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. To us, he is peace. Christ made peace between his people and God, also peace between the Jews and Gentiles. I wish we had some Messianic Jews here in the congregation tonight. Unfortunately, we do not, which I regret to say is most likely the fault of the Christian church, but I cannot tarry on that point either. Those called out from both groups are his people now, and there's no distinction. So formerly, the Jewish people, and that would include Paul, divided the world into Jew and Gentile. But the Church of Christ has done away with it. In the church, that dividing wall between Jew and Gentile has been broken down. Doesn't exist anymore. So he abolished in his flesh the enmity of the commandments. And we see in verse 15, he abolished in his flesh that enmity contained in ordinances, so in himself he might make the two into one new man, and verse 16, might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. Circumcision was maybe the foremost practice that separated the Jews from the Gentiles, but the other commandments as well did separate the groups. The Jews considered themselves to be the chosen people and particularly loved by God, which was true. In their eyes, they were superior to the Gentiles, and a Gentile could not have that relationship. But Christ has done away with these things and welded the two people into one. So in the church, we are one in Christ, all one body. Although there are different functions, different people who have the ability to do different things. The law stands to show us our need of Christ. And the saved individual, having the Holy Spirit, understands what's needed more fully than written ordinances can explain. I think perhaps the best example of that is the Good Samaritan, when the lawyer says, who is my neighbor? I want something definitive. I want a line drawn. On this side of the line, that which I must do. On the other side of the line, that which I need not do. But the heart and spirit of obedience, rather than the letter of the law, become important as we learn to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Who is my neighbor? Could be someone you meet on the road to Jericho. So this new person, this new creature, was crucified with Christ and raised with him. The old man died with Christ, and the new man came to life with a resurrection. The natural man who serves sin is in enmity to God. This will remain true unless and until such a person comes to Christ, because in themselves they cannot find peace with God. We know that Christ is our peace, but without him there can be no peace. The Jews and Gentiles were hostile to one another in most cases. And here we see that once Jews and Gentiles come to Christ, the cross has reconciled both groups, made them into one body, and reconciled also to God, because hostility was put to death at the cross. As we get to verse 17, it's a quotation from Isaiah 57:19, and it proclaims peace to those near and those far away. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father. God is promising healing and restoration to his people, to those who are far away and to those close at hand. At the time this was written, there were some in exile, some of the nation, and God speaks peace and comfort to his people. And Paul and others expand these verses because we're seeing in our New Testament, starting with the message that Peter brought to Cornelius and his various friends, that those who far away are not necessarily the Jews in exile, but rather could include Gentiles as well, which in the Jewish thought of the time were certainly far away from the promises to the nation. So this is again a core of Paul's message and actually the point of contention with many Jewish leaders. Gentiles, who were formerly considered far off by the Jews and not worthy to worship the true God, could now come near to God through Christ. Those who were far off have been brought near, and a door has been opened for them to approach God. And not only that, but the Jews must enter by the same door. Now, the door that was opened, of course, was Christ, and through him and him alone we have access to the Father. Nothing men can do will open the door that Christ has already opened. It stands open as I speak today. Nothing men can do can ever close the door that Christ has opened, as anyone can come through it. More than this, through Christ and in Christ, believers, both Jew and Gentile, become adopted into the family of God. We have access in one spirit to the Father. You're no longer strangers and aliens, fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household. You're right in the family. They can address God as Father, just as Jesus addressed him. And those who have believed are indwelt by the same Spirit. There's no distinction between the Jewish children and the Gentile children. Since Christ has given us access, we're no longer strangers and aliens. We're members of the household. And so if the door has been open for those who want to come, an important question of the time is, how shall these people be treated? Will the new Gentile Christian be an alien who's tolerated in the church but not given the same respect or status as the original Jewish Christians? Are they strangers who got to be kept at a distance? Would they be considered worthy to eat with Jewish believers? That was an issue in the early church and somewhat of a burning question. But Paul says you're no longer strangers and aliens, you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophet, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Here Paul goes to from household to building to make his point. So Paul's clear that they're not second-class citizens. He explains Gentile converts are not aliens or servants. They're full members of the household. And then he says the Gentile believers are built right into the building. That doesn't mean they're going to put bricks and mortar on top of them, but that's looking at the body of Christ as a building. They're not a separate building out back somewhere. They're right there. The foundation, of course, the apostles, prophets, Christ is the cornerstone. Every other part of the building's got to be in proper relationship with that cornerstone. And the building doesn't remain the same. It's not something that's going to sit there and stay the same. Because in verse 21 it says, it's growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Sometimes I get a little discouraged with the American church because sometimes it does seem to be growing like I'd like to see it grow. But the church is growing in many places. They say that the Chinese church, if it was ever properly enumerated, is absolutely enormous. But the temple in Jerusalem was built as a dwelling place for God and a house of prayer for the nations. And the Christian church should be serving the same function. Paul is saying that the members of the church are being built into a temple, which would be a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So, as we look at this portion, a number of things seem very clear. At one time, we had no hope. At one point, those who have not come to Christ at one point in their life, they had no hope. Because we were dead in trespasses and sins, this made us far away. And I think it's often true, it was true in my case, that God sought us with grace and love when we weren't looking. And having found us, Christ took us and brought us close. The enmity of law and commandments has been abolished by Christ in our behalf. Can we keep the law perfectly? Not so much. Now, the circumcision is of the heart, and it should mark every Christian as different from those who follow the flesh or the devil. When you're associated with people for a period of time, doesn't take too long to see what they're following and whom they're following. The mix of Jew and Gentile is not generally found in our fundamental churches today. There is generally a mix of more mature believers along with babes in Christ or people who have recently been saved. We're all saved by grace. There should be no second-class citizens in the church at all. And the reason for that is there's nothing we have that we didn't receive. And having been freely given to us, there's no reason for any of us to boast or hold ourselves higher than the next person in the pew or the next dozen people. We're in the process here of building a church. We're still building. Now, we might not be building as fast as we would like. We might not be building the exact demographics that we would like. But nonetheless, we're building. The cornerstone is Christ. And all who come will be built into the building. And I thank you. We'll have our closing hymn, Cody.